Welcome to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Thanks for tuning in. And today I'm joined by lead pastor of Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene, Pastor Adrian Mills. Pastor Adrian, how are you doing today?
Hey, Grayson. I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me.
Pastor Adrian, thanks for joining me today. It's good to have you. And just start off just mentioning what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah, well, today I really had it on my heart, knowing that we were going to be on the program, to share a little bit out of Psalm 23. Now, I say that, I don't think anybody listening thought, I don't know anything about that psalm. This is one of the most famous passages of Scripture. Believers, even non-believers alike, have heard the 23rd Psalm, perhaps at funerals or time of great need or comfort. But what's amazing to me about the Word of God is that there's always new life and new thoughts and inspiration that the Holy Spirit will bring. And so today, the 23rd Psalm really is a prayer, and perhaps we'll close our session today by praying the 23rd Psalm together. But I thought Grayson and I, we can just journey through the psalm together and just share some thoughts and some things the Lord is bringing to life through His Word. And what I've always found is where you are in your journey often impacts what you see in this passage. So we're going to read today out of the God's Word translation of Psalm 23. And I will begin just reading a verse here and then giving Grayson a little bit of time to share. We'll both share back and forth. And we'll just go verse by verse. There's only six verses, but powerful six verses in Scripture that I think the Lord will use to bring encouragement and comfort to you today. So it begins in Psalm 23, the God's Word translation, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I am never in need. Grayson, share a little bit about what that verse speaks to you about.
Well, it lets us know, first of all, it should be comforting to us to know that God's watching over us. He's the shepherd of His flock or His people. And so we're never going to go, we're in need of something because He provides all of our needs. And the Bible says abundantly, you know, He provides, you know, and also talks about how the plans He has for us are better than we can think or imagine. So, I mean, we're never going to be in need, you know. He meets all of our needs. Like in the Bible, when they were in the desert and they needed manna, He sent manna from heaven every day. Right. And so He looks out for the needs of His people.
Yeah, and I think the illustration of the shepherd, first of all, this is something that the audience hearing would have understood, that the shepherd, that is speaking to their culture in that day and age. It's an analogy that they would have understood. And we probably don't understand it quite as much in our culture because we don't, you know, we don't have a lot of shepherds today. We certainly, a lot of us don't know what it's like to care for sheep. Some do. But I think even that analogy that if He is the shepherd, then that is already acknowledging that He is the one leading. He is the one in control. He is the one providing. And really, we are sheep, which means, you know, I don't think sheep are the smartest animals. And that probably is pretty true about us in comparison to the Lord. But what it really means is those sheep rely fully on the shepherd. They depend on Him fully for their needs and to keep them safe and to make sure that they're given what they need. And so, yeah, just to reiterate what you say, Grayson, I think that's absolutely true, that because we are the sheep and our relationship to the Lord is that He is our shepherd, yeah, we don't have to be in need. But when we fight that, when we don't let Him be our shepherd, when we don't really submit and become the sheep in His care, when we say, no, I'm going to do it my way, or I'm going to take care of me, or I'm going to, then we can't allow Him to meet our needs. So I see that too as a place of submission, that we willingly say, yeah, we're the sheep, and we're grateful that He is the shepherd. Does that make sense too, Grayson, as you're reading through that?
Yeah, that makes sense. And like you said, certainly we can't relate to it as easily as those in the Bible that were hearing the story in those days, but we still know a little bit, probably, especially in our area with a lot of farms and stuff, about how, you know, farmers watch over their animals and right, protect their animals. And we know that God is watching over us and that we can always come to Him whenever we're worried about something or feel like that we're in need of something, maybe,
right,
which I think is probably a relative term for most people. Right. I'm not saying there aren't desperate needs that people have. Needs aren't always, they come in different shapes and forms. So certainly whether it's a spiritual need or a physical need or an emotional need, God can meet all of those things.
Right. And what a great challenge for us today. If the podcast ended right now, it would be enough that we would say, because the Lord is my shepherd, because he's leading my life, because he's the one guiding me, protecting me, comforting me, because of that, I don't have a need. And you might have a need right now as you're listening to this, and I would ask you to trust the Lord enough to say, this is an area of life that I was worried about, that I was concerned about, that I was scared about, but I'm going to put new trust and faith in the shepherd to meet that need. And I think in doing that, he'll bring comfort and peace like only he can. Let's look at verse 2 now in the God's Word translation. It reads this, first verse was, the Lord is my shepherd, I am never in need. Verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside peaceful waters. And that passage, that verse really challenges me, because to me, if it, in one word, verse 2 speaks of rest. And in our culture, in our world today, we're not really good at that. We either take an unhealthy approach where we maybe have a lifestyle of laziness where we're not disciplined, or the total other direction. We're so driven and motivated. We fill our lives with so much stuff that we don't know what it looks like to have a healthy view of rest. And so I'll pause for a minute and let you respond, Grayson. But my immediate thought when I read verse 2 of Psalm 23 is, the Lord wants us to rest. He wants to teach us what it is to rest.
Yeah, Pastor Adrian, one of the first thoughts that came to my mind when you were reading verse 2 of Psalm 23 was in the Bible where it says, you know, all you who are heavy laden and tired, come to me and I will give you rest, and I will give you my yoke. My yoke is light. And so it just lets us know that if we need rest, we can come to him. And I think one of the best ways to get rest is to spend quiet time, undistracted time with him, whether that be in devotion or prayer or just, you know, like you said, kind of setting aside time out of all the busyness in our life just to focus on him and making that a regular part of our life. And it might be different for different people, and, you know, it might be different days of the week, but just trying to make an exerted effort to set aside regular time with him, making it a habit in your life.
Yeah, I love that the God's Word translation uses that word peace too. He leads me beside peaceful waters. I don't think that always means it's easy. I don't think it always means that everything will be, you know, safe and, you know, feel great. But I do think peace, we believe that he is our Prince of Peace, that I believe part of that rest is, again, this passage really builds on itself. If he is my shepherd and he's my source and he's the one providing, and because of that I don't have a need, then I can learn what it is to rest. I can learn what it is to have true peace. And Grayson, you might understand this too, but I've met people that are going through really challenging things. Cancer, they've lost a loved one, and they experience incredible peace. And I believe in that they're still learning to rest, and it's not because life is easy. It's not because everything has even turned out how they wanted to, but I do believe it's because they're trusting in the good shepherd, and he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside peaceful waters. When I allow him to lead my life, he brings peace, and I think that's such a true testimony to the people that I'm even thinking of now in my life that are going through some hard things.
Yeah, Pastor Adrian, as you were talking about different people, we all know people going through hard times, like you said, whether it be sickness like cancer or other things, that have peace. And kind of the first thought that came to my mind was when my grandfather about 4 years ago was going through his cancer struggle. He had peace the whole time, and he was praising God and giving him thanks. And I was thinking to myself, I hope that I can have that same peace and that same positive spirit if I were to go through that same thing or something similar. And it's just like the Bible says, I guess it's peace that passes all understanding. It doesn't make sense that somebody going through something like that would have peace.
Right.
But it's just God and him alone.
Yeah, and I think it almost makes some people uncomfortable. I've shared the story. I feel like I could do it on here with my friend Jen Omlocker. Of course, Grayson, you know her well. She attends our church and she's on the church board and involved. Used to be on staff here, and I shared it in a message one time that she was going through cancer, and the Lord really did work and move. But in that journey, as we were in a life group, a small group together, some people were really uncomfortable with how much peace Jen had in the midst of it. They almost felt like, I don't think they said this, Grayson, but it was almost like they felt like she was being irresponsible to not be more worried and more concerned. And I just think that for the life of the believer, when he's our shepherd, that can be our reality, that we can have peace that truly passes understanding, that people don't understand it. And we don't do it to be weird. We don't do it to draw attention to ourselves, but we do it to give glory to God. This is peace that he's bringing. It's not peace that the world gives. And, you know, Jesus said that, I don't bring peace that the world gives. Let not your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. And so that's good truth for us today. Well, let's jump into verse 3. And again, we're talking about the shepherd and that he makes me lie down in green pastures and he leads me beside peaceful waters. And verse 3 of the God's Word translation says this, he renews my soul. He guides me along the paths of righteousness for the sake of his name. Grayson, there's a lot in that. First, the word renew comes to mind. And I don't know what jumps out to you when you think about that, but I think no matter how long we've been following the Lord, you might be a new believer. You may have been trusting the Lord to lead your life for a long time. I think we can always use renewal. And so I'm glad that we serve the God who's not just our shepherd and he's not just giving us peace, but he's in the business of renewing us. And so I don't know what stood out to you when you first hear verse 3, but that was the first word that just jumped off the page to me.
Yeah, and that can be kind of twofold as far as renew. You know, if you've strayed from the Lord or kind of maybe waned in your relationship, he can renew your soul. It's never too late to come back to the Father. Also, maybe if you're a Christian struggling in hard times and you just need renewal or strength, renewed strength, he can do that as well. And the Bible says his mercies are new every morning. He can renew your strength every day. I mean, give you the strength that's necessary for that day. And so that part sticks out to me. And then also about guiding us along paths of righteousness, right, making sure that we reflect him no matter what we're going through as Christians, to make sure that we're bringing glory to him. It says for his name's sake. Yeah. So our righteousness and what we do is not for us. It's not to give us glory, but to give him glory.
Yeah, like it says, our righteousness is filthy rags. You know, if it were up to us, then it would be miserable. But I love that too, that he guides me, and he guides me in the path of righteousness. So he guides me in his path, the path of right living, the path. But he does that for his sake, for his glory. And Grayson, it really comes back to me, how can we have peace? How is it that we can have him as our shepherd and not be in need? Well, really, it comes down to, what is the purpose of your life? If the purpose of your life is to be happy, if the purpose of your life is to accumulate the most stuff, which, you know, that's kind of the common message of the day, you know, be happy, do whatever you can to be happy. But as we look at God's word, the purpose of our life clearly is one thing, to bring God glory. That's why we're here. That's what he's called us to do. And so I love that in the 23rd Psalm, it talks about leading us in paths of righteousness. So that's good paths, but he's leading us for his name's sake, not for our glory. So there's probably a few times in life where the Lord's had to humble me and kind of remind me, I'm not leading you on this path for your fame and your benefit. I think you'll get some benefit out of it, but this is about my glory. And so there's times when you may not understand the path that I have you on, but it's about my glory and my name being lifted up. And so if you'll trust me, it's going to be good. I'm not here to make you miserable, but I am here to draw all men, all women to myself. And so I love that idea too, about guiding in paths of righteousness for the sake of his name. I think that's beautiful. You ready to go to verse 4?
Yeah.
Let's do it. There's a lot there too. Even though I walk through the dark valley of death. Ooh, doesn't sound fun. Because you are with me, I fear no harm. Your rod and staff give me courage. Grayson, I'm just going to give you the first take at it here. As you listen to those words, even though I walk through the dark valley of death, because you are with me, I fear no harm. Your rod and your staff, they give me courage. What comes to mind as you read that?
Well, first of all, when you read the first line of verse 4, it was like doomsday or something. And I think the writer of the psalm adds emphasis, the dark valley of death. So it's a dark valley, and it's also the valley of death.
Yeah.
But the key word in there, and I've heard Dad say this before, is the word through. Even though I walk through, meaning we're coming out on the other side, it's not going to last forever.
Yeah.
He will see us through that. And it also says that he is with us. So we know we're not alone. And the Bible says he will never leave us or forsake us. So I think that we know that we're going to deal with hard times. All of us have hard things that we're going to go through in life, but it won't last forever, and he'll be there with us. And it says his rod and his staff, they comfort us. And it's like a shepherd. Mm. Once again, going back to the shepherd idea, and the rod lets us know that he's there. His presence, it reminds us that he's there, and just different things in our life, even through trials.
Right.
There's different things that happen that let us know and remind us that he's there and he's with us. So I think we should lean on him whether we're going through times of death or, you know, hard times or good times, because we need him in both times.
Right.
But a lot of times it takes hard things for us to realize, you know, that we need him.
Correct. Yeah. We can get going good kind of in our own, and everything's going well. And we wouldn't say this, but we might think, I don't really need God right now. Verse 4 for me, if there was a reason that I chose to study this passage today, the Lord's just been speaking to me a lot about verse 4 of Psalm 23. And I think oftentimes we pray that the Lord will take us around the valleys that we won't have to go through. And I think that's an okay prayer. I think we can pray that. Sometimes there's valleys I haven't had to go through. Maybe I didn't realize it at the time, but the Lord kind of protected me, or he led me on the path of righteousness for his name's sake. But there are times when we are going through the valley. I'm thinking of a dear brother of mine in Christ who here at the church that just recently lost his wife to cancer. I don't think that the Lord took delight in that he had to walk, you know, through that. But I think in that moment, we all prayed, Lord, if it be your will, that they wouldn't have to go through this. But in that, the Lord kind of spoke to me that said, well, there are times where I'll take you out of the valley. There's times where I might take you around the valley. You don't have to go through it. But then there's times when you're going to have to trust me to bring you through the valley. And I'm here to tell you that there are times in my life where in the valley it felt heavy and hopeless. But now I can look and see how the Lord was faithful to bring me through the valley. So I appreciate grace in seeing that word through. And I would just encourage you, if you're listening today, you might feel like you're in a valley. You might be questioning and asking the Lord, why? Why did you allow this? Why couldn't you have prevented this? And I don't know that answer. I don't think we always do. But the promise of God is not that he will always bring us around the valley, but he will deliver us through it. And he's not going to do that because we're so smart or so gifted or we're the best. You know, it's not that. It's about his presence with us. That's why we're not afraid. It's not about a pep talk, and it's not about, you know, that I'm a better Christian or better. That has nothing to do with it. The reason that we do not fear when we go through the valley is A, because we acknowledge that we are going through it, that we are going to get through it. But also, more importantly than that, we know his presence is with us, that we don't need to fear. And yeah, that rod and staff, there's a lot that your dad, I know, has shared recently from his trips to the Middle East and understanding the role of the rod and the staff for the shepherd. And those are beautiful analogies that I won't get a lot into. And you can share more if you want, Grayson. But just that beautiful idea of, again, that shepherd being with us in the dark valley and bringing comfort. And I think it's beautiful for us to remember.
Well, the only main thing that I remember about that is, you know, sheep, they kind of look down. So when they're running, but it kind of directs them.
Right.
And doesn't let them get off course. And it's also used for correction, too, if they like stray away or whatever, to get them back on the path. But the shepherd loves his sheep, just like Father God loves us.
That's interesting, too. As you said that, I thought of an analogy. I'm not a big athlete by any means. I love sports. I do run a little bit just for my own benefit and, you know, to spend some time with the Lord, honestly, and to exercise. But sometimes I notice, Grayson, that there's kind of two different ways to run. If I'm coming to a big hill, sometimes my strategy is to look at the goal. And that's very biblical, to keep our eyes, you know, fixed on the prize. And so sometimes I can look at the top of the hill and I can run. But there are times, and this is how I identify with being a sheep. There are sometimes where if I focused way at the top of the hill, I would think I'm never going to get there. Instead, as I'm running, I'm just looking right ahead of me. I'm looking at the next step I need to take. And the beautiful, I've never thought of that before from this passage, but as you were sharing about that rod and staff, I'm kind of thinking sometimes as sheep, we keep our eyes on the prize. I'm not saying that, but sometimes in the dark valley, we just need to keep our eyes on what is the next step? What is the next thing? You know, get up tomorrow, get out of bed, believe that God, you know, sometimes when we're in the dark valley, that's all we can do. We can't think about 1 week from now or 2 weeks from now. We just have to think about this moment, this day. And that brings me a lot of comfort to know that the shepherd, even when all we can see is right in front of us, he is guiding us. He's leading us with his staff to help us continue on the journey. Verse 5 of the God's Word translation says, "You prepare a banquet for me while my enemies watch. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." I love that imagery. I love it because we just talked about going through the valley, that we don't stay there. He brings us through. And I love, you know, the imagery of a banquet. A banquet is a celebration. It's not just, we're having dinner. It's a beautiful celebration. And our enemies are watching. And I kind of love that analogy that we will overcome. I believe one of the enemies that this scripture is referring to is the enemy of our soul. That one day we believe that we're going to be at a banquet table and the enemy who's done everything he can to steal, kill, and destroy, he'll just have to watch. And I love that. And Grayson, you share about that. And also, I'd love for you to share a little bit about that idea of anointing my head with oil. A couple Sundays back now, we had a prayer gathering, one of your dad's last Sundays here. And he reminded us, as he's done many times, that we believe here in the Church of Nazarene of praying and anointing. And we'll often use the oil as just a sign as we pray. But he gave kind of a powerful illustration of what that oil will remind us of. So you speak to that or whatever else you want to speak to from this verse.
Well, when you were talking about preparing a banquet in the presence of my enemy, I was just thinking about how he gives us victory over our enemies. In the end, the holy people or the faithful people, they prevail, and the evil ones are maybe defeated, might not be the right word, but they get what's coming to them, so to speak.
Right.
So even though in this life it might look like that evil people are prospering and faithful people are being harmed or whatever, in the end, justice comes. And also, when you're talking about the oil, and especially talking about a shepherd, the other thing we were talking about, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Well, the oil, a lot of times he would use oil. I believe Dad has said this before, a shepherd would use oil to rub on the sheep if there was a spot that was hurting or whatever, just to bring comfort to the sheep. And also, I believe the oil can represent the Holy Spirit's presence.
Right.
You know, being in us and working through us and can bring healing in different situations, whatever that might be.
Yeah, it's a beautiful example that for the shepherd, they didn't believe that necessarily this oil would heal the sheep, but they believed that it brought just a comforting presence. And so I love that. But yeah, of course, in Scripture, we believe that the oil also represents the presence of the Lord. So I think for the shepherd, it's a beautiful example of what we just talked about. Why do we not fear? Well, it's because you're with me. So that oil reminds us of that, but it also reminds us that the presence of the Lord is with us. And then as we look at the end of verse 5, it really goes into verse 6. And so we'll prepare to close here shortly. But it says, "My cup overflows." And what that means to me, Grayson, is that it's not, we started by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I'm never in need." And that's good. And, you know, that kind of makes it sound like, well, I have just enough, you know. But the reality is, as we allow him to lead our lives and he leads us through some valleys, and that really our cup overflows, that there's blessing we wouldn't have had. As you read verse 6, it says, "Certainly goodness and mercy will stay close to me all the days of my life, and I will remain in the Lord's house for days without end." And if you talk about my cup overflowing, I think those verses are really connected, that this is not just about a life of getting through it. We believe that happens, but it's an abundant life. It's a life of experiencing life to the full. That's what Jesus came to give us, not to just survive, not just to make it. Certainly, we feel like that in certain seasons. But as we trust him through the valley, He will show us that our cup will overflow and with goodness and mercy and all those beautiful things. So as we prepare to close, Grayson, what stands out to you as we finish Psalm 23?
Well, in relation to both of those things about our cup overflowing and about goodness and mercy will be with us all the days of our life, you know, if we follow his plan, even though it might not be what we would have had in mind, his plan will be way better than anything we could think or imagine. And, you know, his blessings just overflow if we're obedient to him. And even if this life is hard, you know, we're promised eternal life, and certainly right. That's an overflowing cup. It says that we'll spend, you know, days in the house of the Lord without end, and that's right. What I think about is eternal life in heaven with him, that if we're faithful in this life and if we trust him and obey him and follow the plan that he has for us, then we're promised eternal life in heaven with him and with his son Jesus. Just his mercy and goodness, they're with us. We talked about how he never leaves us or forsakes right. us, and that he goes with us through the valley of death.
Right.
And so whether we're experiencing good times like a banquet, like it yeah. was saying, in the presence of our enemy, whether we're going through good times or death valleys, his goodness and mercy is always with us, and
right.
he will lead us until the day of completion for us, or the day that we go to meet him.
Right, right. Well, Grayson, I think the beautiful thing as we prepare to close is you can take verse by verse and get a lot out of Psalm 23, but I also think it's beautiful how it builds one verse after the other. And so I think that teaches us a lot about reading the Word of God. Sometimes we kind of pick a verse out and it's good, but I think sometimes when we can really see the context, and so today I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that I walk through valleys, but I understand that only because I've understood that he's my shepherd and I'm not in need, and he teaches me peace and he renews my soul, and I go through the valley and I don't have to fear. And that's why he can prepare a banquet for me, because I've gone through the valley and I learned what it is that he anoints my head with oil, that his presence is with me. And really, as we close, it's the overflowing blessing of experiencing him. And I appreciate what you said too. I think our cup overflows when we learn what it is to trust him as our shepherd through the valley, in good times, in hard times, but through it all knowing that he's with us. So I'd like to close today, Grayson, if that would be all right. And as we close, I'd just like to pray the 23rd Psalm over those that would be listening today. And so if you're listening, wherever you are, receive this prayer today, maybe in a new light, maybe in a new way, maybe something that we've shared today has allowed the Word of God to come alive to you. And so I pray these words together as we prepare to close from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I am never in need. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside peaceful waters. He renews my soul. He guides me along the paths of righteousness for the sake of his name. Even though I walk through the dark valley of death, because you are with me, I fear no harm. Your rod and your staff, they give me courage. You prepare a banquet for me while my enemies watch. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Certainly goodness and mercy will stay close to me all the days of my life, and I will remain in the Lord's house for days without end. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Adrian, thank you for joining me on today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks.
Hey, good to be here, Grayson. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for tuning in today. We pray that today's broadcast has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless. Today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.